Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo, and we're reading through the Bible. This is the book of Leviticus, and we're on chapter 23, and this is the appointed festivals of the people of Israel. And so let's ask the Lord to anoint chapter 23 and to learn lessons from it in regard to how the little foxes spoil the vines. You know, a lot of people think that you're not supposed to be detailed when you learn something, that you're not supposed to learn it and learn it once and for all. And people that think that way are just absolutely detestable in the eyes of the Lord, and also detestable to me. When there's no reason to teach people if they're not going to learn, and if they're not going to learn once and for all. And the Lord shows us that in these different festivals, that people have to attend them. And even if they were ceremonially unclean in these festivals, they still have to, they can't come to the festival because of the fact that they're unclean. Well, they still are able to come because the Lord in this book, in the later chapters, the Lord makes it possible by appointing a new day for them to come a month later. So, Father, quicken all the scriptures, because we live one day at a time, and not 2 days, or we have not to think about tomorrow, because there's sufficient is the evil of this day, because the Satan keeps telling that we don't have to keep the law in great detail. Well, the law, if we don't keep the law, then we're lawless, and part of this lawless society that we see today that are killing 40 million babies in this United States alone. And also we see the adultery, the fornication, the Satan worshiping, the uniting oneself with the beast, the Roman Catholic and Muslim empire with all the one world church full of Satan worshipers, the one world cult rather. And so we have to be very careful to observe everything the Lord says in great detail. And he says to obey those that have the rule over you. And if people think that that's a joke or that's just something that pastors say because they want obedience, or that that's because of some kind of wild hair that we have that we want people to obey us, you know, like a king is obeyed, and a lot of kings are not obeyed, but according to the Lord, we are the kings and the priests of this world. And if people don't believe that, they simply should go to another church, because I'm telling you what the Bible says. And the Lord, all these different festivals that speaks about in this chapter are symbolic of something that the Lord fulfilled in the New Testament. So, Father God, anoint this chapter in every way. Let not anything, let everything that is of you be done here, and let not anything that is of Satan occur during this tape. In the mighty name of Jesus, we ask, we pray, Lord, we are petitioning you in Jesus' mighty name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right.
Leviticus chapter 23. The Appointed Festivals, King James Version, verse 1.
And who were they appointed by? They're appointed by God. And he says these are festivals that must be kept all the time. And they're all fulfilled in Jesus, in the New Testament. Then go ahead.
Verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, verse 2, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them concerning the feasts of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations.
See, they're feasts of the Lord. Okay, they're of God. And so everything that's in the Bible is of God. And so if you are not going to do the things that are of God, then you're of the devil. Doesn't that make sense?
Yes.
All right. So people like to argue with the authorities on this earth. And every time that you see that it's always somebody that is the biggest nothing in the church, in the congregation. They're just nothings. They're never going to amount to anything, and they're not going to make it into the kingdom of heaven. And they're just there to antagonize or to wear out the saints. The Bible says that the Satan would wear out the saints in the last days, and he does it through his people that he sends in to different congregations, different pods of the Lord. And the people that are really of the Lord know who they are. And they're just living, they're just here on borrowed time, because they will be put out. I'm not trying to discourage people, but I am discouraging Satan, because God doesn't like him, and I don't either. They love him, and I hate them for it. And that's a perfect hatred, according to the psalmist David. Amen?
Amen.
And the Lord says for us to hate evil. Amen?
Amen.
Isn't evil disobedience?
Yes.
Yes, one of them says. Yes. Yes, it is. I mean, your yea be yea, the Lord said, and your nay be nay. Amen?
Amen.
Gosh, we people that are rulers for the Lord here, the authorities on earth, we don't have time to argue with little girls and little disobedient boys, unruly, unteachable spirits. What profit is there to try to teach an unteachable spirit? Unteachable spirits, unruly spirits, are of the devil. You notice that all the people that really are of the Lord, they say, yes, Lord, and the Bible says that they do exactly what the Lord tells them to do. Just like Caleb and Joshua, they came back and brought a good report of the land because they had faith in the power of God to not only deliver, but to heal. And it just shows healing all throughout the Old Testament and New, and it shows deliverance from sin. All right, so let's keep going.
Even these are my feasts. Verse 3, 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest and holy convocation. Ye shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings.
Yeah, but now the New Testament, the Lord says, is it not lawful to heal on the Sabbath? Because what is the Sabbath? Was not made for man, but man was man made for the Sabbath, or the Sabbath made for man?
Sabbath made for man.
Yeah, the Sabbath was made for man. Amen?
Amen.
And the Lord and his people were going through the cornfields, and on the Sabbath they picked corn or wheat or whatever, and rubbed it between their hands and ate it. And then they healed on the Sabbath. So the Lord wants us to know that Sabbath is when we come to rest in him. We rest from our worldly duties. Of course, we're to walk in the Spirit. And if you're walking in the Spirit, the Lord will give you more than time of rest during the week, one day or another. But he will want you to do certain things on what ordinarily was the Sabbath day, and you better do them. Because he is the Sabbath. He is our rest. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Verse 4. These are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations, which ye shall proclaim in their seasons.
Yeah, holy convocations, assemblies. Assemble yourself together to do it. Then what else?
Verse 5. In the 14th day of the first month at even is the Lord's Passover.
Okay. What is the Passover? What does that mean?
That the Lord passed over the houses of those that had the blood on the lintels and the doorposts.
Yeah, and then he killed the firstborn of Egypt. Amen?
Amen.
So you're supposed to honor, which is symbolic of Jesus. He saves those that have the blood on the doorposts of their heart. All their former sins were taken away. They're covered in the blood of Jesus. And the death angel will not take them and send their souls to hell. Okay, that's what that feast is, the Passover. Then what?
Verse 6. And on the 15th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread unto the Lord. 7 days ye must eat unleavened bread.
Right, because that's what the rule is. It's unleavened bread, to eat nothing that has sin in it, to do nothing that has anything that has sin in it. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. That's the Lord's Supper. You have to eat, in other words, the Lord Jesus Christ, because there's no sin in him. Amen?
Amen.
And not just for 7 days as it was in the Old Testament, but we, by faith, eat the word every day. Okay, then what else?
Verse 7. In the first day ye shall have an holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein.
That's assembly. Assemble yourself, a holy assembly. Then what?
Verse 8. But ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord 7 days. In the seventh day is an holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein. Verse 9. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, verse 10, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When ye be come into the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then ye shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest. Verse 11. And he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord, to be accepted for you. On the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it.
Okay, so he's telling them, he's bringing them into the Holy Land now. Of course, they goofed up, they sinned, and they weren't able to go in, and they had to turn back and go back to that miserable, loathsome wilderness again for entire 40 years. They could have went right in there if they would have believed the Lord. But he just said, no, we can't fight those people. Okay, read that last verse again.
And he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you. On the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it.
Okay, a wave or a heave offering. A wave or heave offering is where they take a certain, they burn part of the, most of the animal, but they take the right thigh of the animal and the breast, and then they heave that outside of the burning, and that portion is for the priest. Okay, that's a heave offering or a wave offering. All right, they heave it off of the griddle there, the altar. All right, instead of burning it. Then what else?
Verse 12. And ye shall offer that day when ye wave the sheaf and he lamb without blemish of the first year for a burnt offering unto the Lord. Verse 13. And the meat offering thereof shall be 2/10 deals of fine flour mingled with oil, an offering made by fire unto the Lord for a sweet savor. And the drink offering thereof shall be of wine, the fourth part of an hin. Verse 14. And ye shall eat neither bread, nor parched corn, nor green ears, until the selfsame day that ye have brought an offering unto your God. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings.
Okay, now translation.
The appointed festivals, verse 1 through 14. The Lord said to Moses, quote, Give the Israelites instructions regarding the Lord's appointed festivals, the days when all of you will be summoned to worship me.
Yeah, all of the big assembly is the holy convocation, when everyone comes. Okay? That's a holy convocation, a holy assembly, in other words. Then what?
Verse 3. You may work for 6 days each week, but on the seventh day all work must come to a complete stop. It is the Lord's Sabbath day of complete rest, a holy day to assemble for worship. It must be observed wherever you live. Bracket, it's all right to do what the Lord says to do on that day, end bracket. Verse 4. In addition to the Sabbath, the Lord has established festivals, the holy occasions to be observed at the proper time each year. Bracket, this one here has to do with the Passover, the festival of unleavened bread, end bracket. Verse 5. First comes the Lord's Passover, which begins at twilight on its appointed day in early spring. Verse 6. Then the day after the Passover celebration, which is the festival of unleavened bread, begins. This festival to the Lord continues for 7 days. and during that time all the bread you eat must be made without yeast. Verse 7. On the first day of the festival, all the people must stop their regular work and gather for a sacred assembly. Verse 8. On each of the next 7 days, the people must present an offering to the Lord by fire. On the seventh day, the people must again stop all their regular work to hold a sacred assembly. Unquote. The Festival of the First Fruits. Verse 9. Then the Lord told Moses, verse 10, to give these instructions to the Israelites. Quote, when you arrive in the land I am giving you and you harvest your first crops, bring the priest some grain from the first portion of your grain harvest. Verse 11. On the day after the Sabbath, the priest will lift it up before the Lord, so it may be accepted on your behalf. Verse 12. That same day, you must sacrifice a year-old male lamb, with no physical defects, as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. Verse 13. A grain offering must accompany it, consisting of 3 quarts of choice flour mixed with olive oil.
Again, this has to do with the bread of life. Okay, which is Jesus. Then what else?
It will be an offering given to the Lord by fire, and it will be very pleasing to him. Along with this sacrifice, you must also offer 1 quart of wine as a drink offering. Verse 14. Do not eat any bread or roasted grain or fresh kernels on that day until after you have brought this offering to your God. This is a permanent law for you, and it must be observed wherever you live.
And this offering is just symbolic of our giving ourselves as a sacrifice to the Lord. All of us, okay? Every bit of our being. And what else?
King James Version, verse 15. And ye shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that ye brought the sheaf of the wave offering, seven Sabbaths shall be complete. Verse 16. Even unto the morrow after the seventh Sabbath shall ye number 50 days, and ye shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. Verse 17. Ye shall bring out of your habitations 2 wave loaves of 2/10 deals. They shall be of fine flour. They shall be baken with leaven. They are the first fruits unto the Lord. Verse 18. And ye shall offer with the bread 7 lambs without blemish of the first year, and 1 young bullock and 2 rams. They shall be for a burnt offering unto the Lord, with their meat offering and their drink offerings, even an offering made by fire of sweet savor unto the Lord. Verse 19. Then ye shall sacrifice 1 kid of the goats for a sin offering, and 2 lambs of the first year for a sacrifice of peace offerings. Verse 20. And the priest shall wave them with the bread of the first fruits for a wave offering before the Lord, with the 2 lambs. They shall be holy to the Lord for the priest.
You see, it says those wave offerings is to holy unto the Lord for the priests. That's what they get to eat, okay?
Yes.
Okay, so wave is you wave it and or toss it. Heave it, it's a heave offering. You heave it off of the griddle, the burning there, all right, for the priests. All right, then what?
Verse 21, and ye shall proclaim on the selfsame day that it may be an holy convocation unto you. Ye shall do no servile work therein. It shall be a statute forever in all your dwellings throughout your generations. Verse 22, and when ye reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not make clean riddance of the corners of thy field when thou reapest, neither shalt thou gather any gleaning of thy harvest. Thou shalt leave them unto the poor and to the stranger. I am the Lord your God. Verse 23. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, verse 24, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the 7th month, in the 1st day of the month, shall ye have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, and holy convocation. Verse 25.
The holy gathering again of people. Everybody gathers together. Then what?
Verse 25. Ye shall do no servile work therein, but ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Verse 26. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, verse 27, also on the tenth day of this seventh month there shall be a day of atonement. It shall be an holy convocation unto you, and ye shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord.
Afflict your souls means to go on a fast. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
Verse 28. And ye shall do no work in that same day, for it is a day of atonement, to make an atonement for you before the Lord your God. Translation, verse 15 through 28. The Festival of Harvest. Quote, from the day after the Sabbath, the day of the bundle of grain was lifted up as an offering, count off 7 weeks. Verse 16, keep counting until the day after the seventh Sabbath, 50 days later, and bring an offering of new grain to the Lord. Verse 17, from wherever you live, bring 2 loaves of bread to be lifted up before the Lord as an offering. These loaves must be baked from 3 quarts of choice flour that contains yeast. They will be an offering to the Lord from the first of your crops. Verse 18. Along with this bread, present 7 one-year-old lambs with no physical defects, 1 bull and 2 rams as burnt offerings to the Lord. These whole burnt offerings, together with the accompanying grain offerings and drink offerings, will be given to the Lord by fire, and will be pleasing to him. Verse 19. Then you must offer 1 male goat as a sin offering, and 2 one-year-old male lambs as a peace offering. Verse 20. The priest will lift up these offerings before the Lord, together with the loaves representing the first of your later crops. These offerings are holy to the Lord and will belong to the priests.
See, there it is. It's the heave offering, the wave offering. All heave and wave offerings are for the Lord, but for the priests. They become holy, and for only the priests to eat. All right? Then what else?
Verse 21. That same day you must stop all your regular work and gather for a sacred assembly. This is a permanent law for you, and it must be observed wherever you live. Verse 22. When you harvest the crops of your land, do not harvest the grain along the edges of your fields, and do not pick up what the harvesters drop.
No, because if you do, God won't bless you. The next year you'll plant and nothing will come up, or very little will come up. So it's better to give abundantly, for those who give abundantly will reap abundantly, and those that give sparingly shall reap sparingly. So it's always good to give abundantly and with a cheerful heart, knowing that God is the God of His Word and that He'll give you abundantly back. But that doesn't mean to give abundantly to a bunch of devils or just to people that aren't doing anything for the Lord. That means to give abundantly to the Lord and to His people, His priests. All right? But this is, and the Lord is saying, give this to the poor people. Okay? Because that's an order from the Lord. But it's not saying give them money, but it does say to don't pick everything that is on your trees, and don't pluck up everything that you're planting. Leave it for the people that are sojourning through the land, for the stranger, and for the poor people. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so the Lord cares about poor people and about strangers. They didn't have Howard Johnson's or McDonald's or Wendy's or any of those kind of places. So there are a lot of people traveling on the road, and they need stuff to eat, and they expect people to obey the Lord, to leave something there for them, and they don't consider themselves beggars. That's just coming from the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
All right? And if you give something to somebody, you should be giving it to them in the name of the Lord, and don't let people think that you're giving it, because the Lord commands you to do it, and you better do it or you won't get anything from the Lord. All right, then what?
Leave it for the poor and the foreigners living among you. I, the Lord, am your God. Unquote. The Festival of Trumpets. Verse 23. The Lord told Moses, verse 24, to give these instructions to the Israelites. Quote, on the appointed day in early autumn, You are to celebrate a day of complete rest. All your work must stop on that day. You will call the people to a sacred assembly, the Festival of Trumpets, with loud blasts.
In other words, a holy convocation, as it says in King James, all right? A holy assembly, it says?
A sacred assembly.
Sacred or holy assembly. That's a holy convocation. Okay, then what else?
You will call the people to a sacred assembly, the Festival of Trumpets, with loud blasts from a trumpet. Verse 25. You must do no regular work on that day. Bracket. It doesn't mean that you can't do some work. It says no regular work. You can do the work that the Lord says to do on that day. Unbracket.
You have to be led by the Holy Spirit. So if the Holy Spirit's leading you to do something, don't hold back, because then you'll really be cursed by the Lord. You've got to know the difference between these cut and dried rules and regulations and walking in the Spirit. Because now perfection and holiness comes by doing what the Lord says always. You may think that you're being led by the Lord to do something, and if you know that it's the right thing to do, you better do it, because the Lord doesn't tell you to do something and then expect you to hold back. Because then you're trying to mortify the Spirit instead of letting the Spirit mortify you. All right, go ahead.
Instead, you are to present offerings to the Lord by fire, unquote. The Day of Atonement, verse 26. Then the Lord said to Moses, verse 27, quote, remember that the Day of Atonement is to be celebrated on the ninth day after the Festival of Trumpets. On that day you must humble yourselves, gather for a sacred assembly, and present offerings to the Lord by fire. Verse 28. Do no work during that entire day, because it is the Day of Atonement. Bracket. No kind of work can be done on that day. And bracket. When atonement will be made for you before the Lord your God, and payment will be made for your sins. King James Version, verse 29. For whatsoever soul it be that shall not be afflicted in that same day, he shall be cut off from among his people. Verse 30. And whatsoever soul it be that doeth any work in that same day, the same soul will I destroy from among his people. Verse 31. Ye shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings. Verse 32. It shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest, and ye shall afflict your souls. In the ninth day of the month at even, from even unto even, shall ye celebrate your Sabbath. Verse 33. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, verse 34, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of this seventh month shall be the feast of tabernacles, for 7 days unto the Lord. Verse 35. On the first day shall be an holy convocation. Ye shall do no servile work therein. Verse 36. 7 days ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. On the eighth day shall be an holy convocation unto you, and ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It is a solemn assembly, and ye shall do no servile work therein. Verse 37. These are the feasts of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, to offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord, a burnt offering and a meat offering, a sacrifice and drink offerings, everything upon his day. Verse 38. Beside the Sabbaths of the Lord, and beside your gifts, and beside all your vows, and beside all your freewill offerings, which ye give unto the Lord. Verse 39. Also in the 15th day of the seventh month, when ye have gathered in the fruit of the land, ye shall keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days. On the first day shall be a Sabbath, and on the eighth day shall be a Sabbath. Verse 40. And ye shall take you on the first day the boughs of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, and the boughs of thick trees, and willows of the brook, and ye shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. Translation, verse 29 through 40. Verse 29. Anyone who does not spend that day in humility will be cut off from the community. Verse 30. And I will destroy anyone among you who does any kind of work on that day. You must do no work at all! This is a permanent law for you, and it must be observed wherever you live. Verse 32. This will be a Sabbath day of total rest for you, and on that day you must humble yourselves. This time of rest and fasting will begin the evening before the Day of Atonement, and extend until the evening of that day. Unquote. The Festival of Shelters. Verse 33. And the Lord said to Moses, verse 34, quote, tell the Israelites to begin the Festival of Shelters on the fifth day after the Day of Atonement. This festival to the Lord will last for 7 days. Verse 35. It will begin with a sacred assembly on the first day, and all your regular work must stop.
Sacred assembly, again, it's a holy convocation. So when you're reading King James, you know what it's saying. Okay, then what else?
Verse 36. On each of the 7 festival days, you must present offerings to the Lord by fire. On the 8th day, you must gather again for a sacred assembly and present another...
A holy convocation. Then what?
And present another offering to the Lord by fire. This will be a solemn closing assembly, and no regular work may be done that day. Verse 37. These are the Lord's appointed annual festivals. Celebrate them by gathering in sacred assemblies to present all the various
holy
offerings.
Holy convocations, then, to do what?
To present all the various offerings to the Lord by fire.
Right.
Whole burnt offerings and grain offerings, sacrificial meals and drink offerings, each on its proper day. Verse 38. These festivals must be observed in addition to the Lord's regular Sabbath days. And these offerings must be given in addition to your personal gifts, the offerings you make to accompany your vows, and any freewill offerings that you present to the Lord. Verse 39. Now on the first day of the Festival of Shelters, after you have harvested all the produce of the land, you will begin to celebrate this 7-day festival to the Lord.
I was in Israel when they were doing that. I saw these blankets over their clotheslines, and you could see lights inside. The people were living in those shelters to remind them of the time that they were living in the wilderness and where everyone had to pass away. And so it's good that they remember these days to warn them that God means business, that He means what He says. Amen?
Amen.
They want to go back on the wilderness again, so you better remember that that's where you'll go, and then into hell if you don't do it. Now, the Jews really believe these things here, these rules and regulations. You take the Gentiles, they don't even know who they worship or what they're worshiping.
Remember that the first day and closing 8th day of the festival will be days of total rest. Verse 40. On the first day, gather fruit from citrus trees and collect palm fronds and other leafy branches and willows that grow by the streams. Then rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. King James Version, verse 41. And ye shall keep it a feast unto the Lord 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. Ye shall celebrate it in the 7th month. Verse 42. Ye shall dwell in booths 7 days. All that are Israelites born shall dwell in booths. Verse 43. That your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Verse 44. And Moses declared unto the children of Israel the feasts of the Lord. Translation, verse 41 through 44. You must observe this 7-day festival to the Lord every year. This is a permanent law for you, and it must be kept by all future generations. Verse 42. During the 7 festival days, all of you who are Israelites by birth must live in shelters. Verse 43. This will remind each new generation of Israelites that their ancestors had to live in shelters when I rescued them from the land of Egypt. I, the Lord, am your God. Unquote. Verse 44. So Moses gave these instructions regarding the annual festivals of the Lord to the Israelites.
Okay, that was the last verse in chapter 23 of Leviticus, and now we have some commentary.
23, verse 2. These feasts of the Lord. The various feasts belonged to the Lord and emphasized his divine participation with the community. 23 verse 3. The Sabbath, or seventh day's rest, as a time of worship, study, prayer, which is the same as also worshiping, reflection, and refreshing, set apart for the Lord and for ourselves also, became the basis for the other holy convocations of the Lord. The place of worship, whether it was the tent of meeting in the wilderness, the sanctuary at Shechem, or the temple in Jerusalem, because the center of gathering involved the service of the priest who led the people in their celebration of God's presence. That can be seen in Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 through 11, also, and chapter 12, verse 14 of Exodus, which also both of these pertain to chapter 23, verse 5 through 6. 23, verse 15 through 21. You could check Exodus 23, 16 and 23, verse 24 through 25. You see the text on the note of Numbers 29, 1 through 6. 23, verse 24. The seventh month was September through the first part of October, and marked the end of one agricultural year and the beginning of another, a very special month. There were four extra rest days in that month, verses 24, 25, 27, 28, and 34 through 36. 23 verses 33 through 36. You can see the text and the notes on Numbers chapter 29, verses 12 through 39. Israel's annual feast, chapter 23, verse 44. The feast began on the month of sacred year day and had the days in the corresponding months. The Passover was Exodus 12, 1 through 14, Leviticus 23, verse 5, Numbers 9, verses 1 through 14, 28 verse 16, Deuteronomy 16 verse 1 through 7. That would happen between March and April. The Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, began on the evening of the 14th day of the first month, Abib. Again, that's in March through April. Exodus chapter 12 verses 15 through 20, chapter 13 verses 3 through 10, Leviticus chapter 23 verses 6 through 8, Numbers chapter 28 verses 16 through 25, Deuteronomy chapter 16 verses 3 through 4 and verse 8. The Passover would be on the 15th through the 21st day of Abib. The feast of the first fruits, that's the first month Abib, and the third month Sivan, the 16th day of Abib in March or April, and the third month Sivan. The 16th day of Abib in March or April, and also the 6th day of Sivan in May or June. The Feast of Weeks. The month of the sacred year would be Sivan and would be 50 days after the barley harvest in the month of May or June. This can be found in Exodus chapter 23 verse 16, chapter 34 verse 22, Leviticus chapter 23 verse 15 through 21, Numbers chapter 22 verse 26 through 31, Deuteronomy chapter 16 verse 9 through 12. The Feast of Trumpets was in the month of Tishri on the first day, which is during September to October. The week was three Shabbat. The Feast of Trumpets, Rosh Hashanah, was in Tishri on the first day, which is September to October. Rosh Hashanah, that feast is found in Leviticus chapter 23 verse 23 through 25, Numbers chapter 29 verse 1 through 6.
So I was born on the 20th of Tishri. All right, then what? Instead of September, right? Okay, then what else?
The Day of Atonement. That feast is also called Yom Kippur. The month is Tishri, on the 10th day of that month, in September to October. That's found in Leviticus chapter 16, chapter 23 verse 26 through 32, Numbers chapter 29 verse 7 through 11. The Feast of Tabernacles, that's in the month Tishri. It begins on the 15th through the 22nd of Tishri, in September to October. That's in Exodus chapter 23, verse 16, chapter 34, verse 22, Leviticus chapter 23, verse 33 through 36, chapter 39, verse 43, Numbers chapter 29, verse 12 through 38, Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 13 through 15. The three major feasts for which all males of Israel were required to travel to the temple in Jerusalem is in Exodus chapter 23, verse 14 through 19. Chapter 23, verse 12 states, quote, without blemish, unquote. And in Hebrew, that's tamim. It's pronounced T-A-H-M-E-E-M. This is Strong's number 8549. Unblemished, spotless, whole, healthy, blameless. This word appears in Genesis 6:9. Noah was, quote, perfect, unquote, in his generations. In Genesis 17:1, God tells Abraham to walk before him and be blameless.
Well, now, these people today say that you can't be perfect, but God said that Noah was perfect, and Abraham was too. Amen?
Amen.
And it's, you know, it's stated that Jesus was, and all those that get into the kingdom of heaven must be perfect, blameless. So that can only happen when you're walking in the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Then what else? These feasts are not observed today. What we have to observe today is Jesus is the fulfillment of all these feasts. And we have to observe Jesus. It's like in the Old Testament where everybody, they were murmuring so much and complaining about the Lord and Moses that the Lord sent fiery serpents unto them. Fiery serpents may have been called fiery serpents because they bit them and there was like a fiery type blemishes or boils that would come up on them and they would die. But the Lord told Moses to fashion a snake or a serpent and put it on the top of his staff so that people could look at it, and if they did, they'd be saved, or they wouldn't die, that they'd be healed. And the Lord wants us to look, and Jesus stated in the New Testament that as Moses held up the serpent in the Old Testament, so also must the Son of Man be lifted up, and all those that believe on him, that have faith in him, that he would save their souls, save them from dying and going to hell, and that he would heal them. So people, if they put their full faith in the Word of God, or the Lord Jesus Christ is the Word of God, then that is, look, they're concentrating on the Lord, or the serpent, because he became a serpent. In other words, he became us, the sin. We're like of the children of the serpent. And if we look, he became sin for us, that whosoever believes on him or concentrates on him, as the children of Israel had to concentrate on that snake in order to be healed and spared from death, that we shall have everlasting life, and also that we should have healing. Now, the same kind of faith, a lot of people have faith in being saved, but they don't have faith enough to be healed. But it's just as easy. It takes the same kind of faith to be saved, the same kind of faith that it takes to be healed. It is the same kind of faith it takes to be saved. So if you've got faith to be saved, you also have faith to be healed. When people ask for me to pray for them, and I ask the Lord, are you going to heal this one? And he says, yes. So I never tell people, well, I'll see what the Lord will do here, or let's see what he'll do. I say, we're going to pray together, and you will be healed for sure. There's no question about it. And because I have faith to believe, I'm looking at the Lord. I'm looking at this one that hung on the cross for my sins and for my healing. And I look at him and I know that he is going to heal others if they place their eyes on him. And I know if they place their eyes on him, they will be saved. All right? Praise the Lord. Okay? And so that goes to show how important and how valuable and how precious faith is. For without faith, no man shall see God. And the Bible tells us that if we have the faith of a grain of a mustard seed, if we just look at the Lord, and believe that he is a healer and that he's our Savior, that we can say to this mount, yonder mountain, to depart, whatever our problems are. The Lord wants us to know that no matter what obstacles they arrive in our lives in this world, that he is able to move them away. Right now we have a big bill in Los Angeles, and it's a quadruple jeopardy by the government, and I pray that God will move that away, and I believe that God is a God big enough, powerful enough to move any obstacle in our lives. So everybody believe with me that God is going to make that $10 million and $1.5 million bill, that's $11.5 million, go away. Amen?
Amen.
Because that would do away with our property if it didn't in Los Angeles. So, is God big enough to destroy the giants?
Amen.
Well, hey, we don't want to go back out in the wilderness, you know, where there's no hope at all. But all those who put their trust in the Almighty God who created heaven and earth, he'll move every obstacle. That's what is the thing that makes God rejoice, is that he sees people believing that he is able to do all things. Amen?
Amen.
To those that have faith. Praise the Lord!
Amen.
Amen? Amen? Okay, go ahead.
Tamim is also used to describe animals fit for sacrifice, without blemish. The root verb tamim means, quote, to finish, use up, accomplish, be spent, be completed, unquote. The dominant thought in all 90 occurrences of tamim is of someone or something complete, unblemished, perfect, or upright.
And somebody that's willing to be used, completely consumed by the Lord for his purpose. And after all, he's God, and if you belong to him, well then, he let him use you however he will. But have faith that everything is going to work out just fine, because he's a good God to those that love him and keep his commandments. Now, every single one of those Israelis that looked up at that serpent were immediately healed and they didn't die. Okay? Because it was symbolic of Jesus. You got to have trust in the Lord, or you haven't got anything. Amen?
Amen.
Without faith, you have nothing. But if you have faith, you believe that you already have it, that you can ask whatever you will, and God will give it to you. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And what's more important than healing, or to be saved and to be healed? Huh? And for the Lord to provide everything. I just want to be a sparrow. The Bible says that he feeds the sparrow. So just let me be a sparrow. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, don't you want to be just a little sparrow instead of a big shot?
Yes.
Somebody that disobeys all the time, just be a sparrow. And what you do, you'll get fed. Because he says he feeds the sparrows. Amen?
Amen.
And he clothes the lily. So, you know, you want to be a lily and a sparrow, well, then there you are. He'll clothe you and feed you. And keep looking at the Lord with all your heart and soul. Trust him that what he says is the truth, and you're going to be saved and healed. And do that to the end. And don't worry about anything else. It's just that simple. Every day have faith. Amen?
Amen.
And you'll be delivered and you'll be healed. And he'll feed you like he does the little sparrows. Amen?
Amen.
And he'll clothe you. Engorge more, even better than Solomon. Amen?
Amen.
I'm glad that I'm living this day and age, because I wouldn't have wanted to have lived I've got central heat and air, you know. I wouldn't want to live in the days of Solomon where he didn't have all that. So most of the people in the world are richer than Solomon was. Amen?
Amen.
So don't let the comfort go to your head, though, because there's a day of reckoning. Keep your eyes on Jesus, on that cross, and that he is also on that, and that he's raised from the dead, and that he's up in the kingdom of heaven now. And his promises are true. Then what else?
Chapter 23, verse 26 through 32. The yearly Day of Atonement festival was to be a day of complete and total rest, as the Israelites made sacrifices and offerings to atone for their sins.
When I say keep your eyes on Jesus on the cross, that's to you people that are not saved yet, because that's where you have to look to the cross in order to be saved. And so that's where the blood was shed. But we people who are already saved, we know that we sit with him in heavenly places. Amen?
Amen.
He came down. They took him down off the cross and put him in the tomb, and he rose from the dead 3 days later. He came out of hell, the grave, and then 40 days later he ascended into heaven. But we all have to go to the cross for the blood. And to be resurrected, our spirits to be resurrected from the dead. But remember, we're living in the same human body that we used to sin in, and we have to keep it under subjection by the Holy Spirit, by the Word of God. Right, then what?
Leviticus chapter 1 through 7 contains specific instructions of how the Israelites were to worship God. In order for us to experience a true relationship with God, we must first acknowledge that Christ is our sacrificial Lamb. John the Baptist introduced him as, quote, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, unquote.
And Moses introduced him as the serpent on the cross. And Jesus confirmed that that's what it was symbolic of. It was symbolic of him in the New Testament. Amen?
Amen.
So we have to believe on him in order to be saved. Then what?
That was in John 1:29. This initial...
Okay, read that.
Oh, that's okay.
John 1:29.
Okay. Quote, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, unquote.
Yeah, but like the people of Israel, you have to look upon him as the Savior, as the one that atoned for your sins by shedding his blood. And then after that, he raises you by the same resurrection spirit that he was resurrected from the dead with. And then you walk in the spirit, you walk in the faith of him that tells you of all the different things that he commands us to do. Now, he called us out of the world not to just rest in him, but to, he called us into his service to bear the yoke with him. And so there's work to do, and it's the last days, and we have to hurry, because there's going to come a time where we will not be able to work. Well, work now while it's still day, for the night is coming where no man can work. All right, then what?
This initial step will enable us to worship God in spirit and in truth. 23 verse 33 through 43. The festival of shelters, like Israel's other yearly feasts, was to remind the people of a crucial event in their history. Required for all native-born Israelites, the festival celebrated God's protective care of his people during their 40-year sojourn in the wilderness. It pictured God's tremendous power in this. It also shows us that we are to be in Christ our temple, and he is to live in us. We shelter him as he shelters us.
And as he sheltered the people in Israel with the cloud, pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. And he was with them in battle. He defeated the two kings that were in the Holy Land. A lot of people think that they didn't go through a little piece of the Holy Land, but they did. They defeated King Sihon and King Og and utterly destroyed them because they would not let the Israelites pass through the land. And they attacked the Hebrews. Then what else?
He lives in us, remaining in the Lord until the end of that period after Exodus from Egypt. This same God is faithful to us during the course of the time that we're becoming mature and totally void of sin, and he extends his power to us, enabling us to abstain from sin. We're not just to have a formal week of feasting to remember those times, but we are to set aside our entire life, instead of just one day each week, to remember all these feasts, to praise God without ceasing for our spiritual benefit, our spiritual growth, our eternal life. We are in a 365 day of the year Sabbath. We are to continue in the Spirit till the end. We are to rejoice and be in an eternal festival with the Lord.
Amen. And that was the 23rd chapter of Leviticus. And we'll be doing chapter 24 later this evening, Lord willing. And until then, keep these things on your mind. Keep your eye on the Lord with faith. To retain your salvation by obeying His word, and to heal you, and for you when you're praying for others to know without a doubt that they're going to be healed when you send your petition to the kingdom of heaven, where you're sitting there with Jesus. Know without a doubt that when you're praying to the Lord that you're going to receive what you're asking for, because you have faith. So until chapter 24, God bless you and praise the Lord. Amen.